time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians, freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame. Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
And here we are, middle of the week, flying through October, and I'm going to throw a little bit of a different twist into everything today. Everything has always been about coming out, the person coming out. We've had drag queens, we've had salespeople talking about things around coming out. And today, I'm going to go back to a very special place, a place where, for me as a parent, I realized that no matter what I did, no matter how I lived, and no matter how I chose to step into being truly who I was, at the forefront were two very special young ladies in my life. As many of you have heard who've listened to the show on a regular basis, I came out of the closet to live my truth as a gay man when my oldest daughter was 5 years old and my youngest daughter was 18 months. My story is not uncommon, nor is it the norm, because children go through this each and every day. And as children go through it, the thing that seems to lack in so many ways is the resources and the support for children, whether you're 1 year old, 5 years old, 10, 20 years old, 30 years old, when your parent comes out of the closet. There's lots of information and resources for those who are coming out of the closet as teens. There's lots of resources for those who are coming out of the closet that are adults and saying, this is who I am. But often the piece that gets missed is the resources that are available for the children of a mother or a father who turns to them and says, by the way, I'm gay. And today we're going to share some stories with two very powerful young people that I've gotten to know over the last couple of weeks. There's another part of their team that won't be able to join us today, but these three young people, and I say young because they're definitely younger than I am, have had the personal experience of a parent, specifically fathers, coming out of the closet. And they all had the experiences kind of at the same stage, same age in life, but they've taken on this journey and embraced it in their own ways. And they now realize that what they want to do as part of their life work and as being a vessel of humanity in this world is to create a resource for other people just like themselves who have gone through this experience. So today on the Coming Out Lounge, we are going to be talking to the team of the Gay Dad Project. We're going to be talking to Era Margolin. We're also going to be talking to Jared Carroll. And their other sidekick, Amy, will not be able to join us today. But we're going to go explore with them exactly the experiences they had as their fathers came out of the closet and also the things that they're doing with the Gay Dads Project. And before we get started, as usual, if there's anything that anyone would like to tweet about, if there's anything that anyone would like to share, you can tweet at Rick Clemons and pound CO Lounge or pound Coming Out Lounge, and then I'll be giving my guests the opportunity to share their tweet accounts as well. But to get started, and before we go to first break, I want to bring them both on. Welcome, Jared and Aaron. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for you're having
welcome. Us. Yeah, you're welcome, Rick. Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and I'm really thrilled. We've had a couple of conversations in the last week, so I'm going to start with Aaron. Aaron is a mother of three, and she is definitely got her hands full, but she's also made room for the Gay Dad Project. So I want to start with you, Aaron, and just give us just a little bit of a synopsis of, you know, who you are and how this all came about for you with your dad coming out of the closet.
Well, I was 15 years old. Excuse me. My parents had been married for just over 20 years. And one day my dad sat us all down and said, I have something to tell you. And essentially at that point came out of the closet. It turned out he had known since he was 12 that he was gay, but he thought he could hide it, quash it down and pretend, pretend to have a normal life and just get married and act as if everything was perfect. And only after living the quote unquote normal lifestyle for so many years did he realize that eventually he couldn't help it anymore and he couldn't keep his secret any longer. So it was then that he said, okay, here's the truth. I'm coming out and here we go. And so that's how it all came about.
So we're going to do Jared, here's a little bit in that. I'll let you. Jared, I think we lost.
But oh, there you go. Yep.
Gotcha. So let's go ahead and have you tell your story.
Yeah, so mine's a little bit different than Aaron's and Amy's in that my parents divorced when I was about 18 months, and it wasn't because my dad had come out as gay. He came out as gay at least to my mother, I think a year or two later. So, and I didn't even know. So I lived with my mom. I grew up in San Diego. My dad lived in San Diego till I was 5. Then he moved to LA till I was 11. Then he moved to San Francisco at that point. And it wasn't until I was just a year younger than Aaron. I was 14 when on a visit up to San Francisco, which I did, 4 or 5 times a year. He told me that he was gay. And of course, I'm sure similar to Aaron's reaction, it was kind of like, what? What do I do now? Because at that point it was 1988, and there wasn't, like you said in your opening, there were no resources for me. There were no resources for my mom as the straight spouse. There were no resources. I shouldn't say no. There were probably very few, and nothing that was really accessible, including for my dad. How to tell your teenage son that you're gay, and so it was definitely a challenge for quite a while. The quote unquote easy part was that he lived in San Francisco in that world, and I lived in suburban San Diego in my world, and I had the choice, which I chose, to not tell anyone. So I just kept it a secret. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my mom that my dad had told me till I was 20 years old, till I was, halfway through college and told a friend.
I love this parallel here, because this is one of those pieces that I think a lot of people who are coming through the closet doors don't realize, that the moment that they share this piece of themselves with their closest people in their lives, whether it be family or friends, they've actually, what I always say, taken their tribe, begin to pull them through the closet door, but they've also then given the person who's hearing this, so in your case is the children, almost a position of, okay, now do they go in the closet? How do they go in the closet, or how do they not go in the closet? And in talking to both of you, I know this was a real challenge. So for Aaron, was this a feeling you had of, now I've got to kind of hide this quote dirty little secret in my own closet?
Exactly. He came out of the closet and put us in. It was very hard, especially at the age of 15, going through puberty and teenage years and feeling like you can't tell anyone because they're going to make fun of you or call you gay, or because of a lot of kids' immaturity at that age, you just don't really know what reaction you're going to get. And so it really was a very stressful period, and I saw a therapist and eventually told my best friend, which was very hard for me to do, but it was almost a relief after that, because I had at least one person to talk to And she was wonderful about it, which probably set a precedent for me and then made it easier then to tell the next person and the next person. But I did so, you know, I did so carefully. But yeah, it was hard. I did feel a little stifled when that happened.
Well, and I think this is a common thing that does happen. I mean, whether it's the child or the spouse or a friend, you know, quite honestly, depending on what level of intimacy you have with that individual, I don't mean intimacy in the sexual realm, but intimacy in the relationship, you know, how close a friend you are and not close, it really determines that level. So we've got just a couple of minutes before we go to break, and I'd like Jared to kind of address that same thing. It must have really felt like something similar to be stifled this way.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, I know now, I mean, I've known for years, especially having been a middle school teacher for 5 years, not too long ago, you know, 14, for a boy, age 14 is the most homophobic age, you know, in a way, it was the worst time to tell me. But, you know, my dad didn't know, my mom didn't know, they didn't know, you know, what to do, how to do it. And so that was exactly, just similar to Aaron's, like, you know, I was afraid. I was embarrassed. I felt, and you know, looking back, probably I was probably right. There was no one that would have understood. There might have been people that were like, "Oh, it's cool, dude. Don't worry about it." But, but you know, you didn't know. You didn't know. And so, just developmentally at my age and the era, and you know where I lived, all those factors combined to just like, nope, not telling anyone. And it was, you know, a lot of the time it wasn't a big deal until something came up, till someone called, you know, used the word gay or faggot or something. And then you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah. And that's really the breakthrough there. And we're going to get ready to go to break here, but this is the perfect springboard for taking us into how do we begin to deal with this as a parent comes out of the closet. I'm Rick Clemens. We're on the Coming Out Lounge with the Gay Dads Project, and we will be right back after the break in just a minute.
You've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clemens. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Are you happy with your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this opportunity to take control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Second chances. We all deserve them, and we are all worthy of them. Second Chances with your host, Midge Noble. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central on TogiNet is like coming home to warm, fresh baked cookies, a hug from Grandma, or an enthusiastic greeting from your dog. Second Chances, hosted by Midge Noble, a licensed professional counselor, is affirming, warm, genuine, validating, and thought-provoking. Second Chances is a place to be heard, a place to laugh, a place to cry, and a place to be seen. For more on Midge and Second Chances, check out MidgeNobleSecondChances.com. Then be a part of a show that will change how you think, how you feel, and what you do. Give yourself the gift of second chances and see where it will take you. So take a deep breath, open your heart, open your mind, and join host Midge Noble for Second Chances, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back, and I'm talking with my two new friends, Aaron and Jared. They are part of the team of the Gay Dads Project. And just prior to the
break, we were talking about the effect that the parent, the dad coming out of the closet, had on putting them, so to speak, in their own closet, because you suddenly do face this space of, oh my goodness, my dad just told me something, and how do I want to be in this realm and in this world with this information I've just been shared? So I want to kind of go back to that a little bit, because both of you were in high school, and Aaron, you just shared that, you know, you did confide in a good friend, and that really became your support system. And as you continued to progress through this journey and through high school, did anything significantly begin to change for you where you felt more comfortable opening up to others, or was this kind of something you chose to keep hidden until you got through high school and out of and into college?
I think I kept it. I kept it pretty quiet, mostly until I left for college. I had a small circle of friends that knew, and I assume that word made its way around, but I don't know for certain. And mm-hmm. and it really wasn't until college that I felt more comfortable, because it was kind of a fresh start, and I figured, hey, college kids—they'll be more mature, and they really were. And I met a lot of more liberal-minded people who were like, hey, what's the big deal about that? You know?
Right.
And so that was nice. But I did have some rough years in therapy and on medication and antidepressants and kind of just trying to process everything and feeling, you know, such a mixture of emotions, everything, you know, anger and depression and, you know, just sadness, because not only are you dealing with the gay parent, but it's a divorce. It's a dissolution of the family at the same time. And so that made it doubly difficult, really, just
right.
trying to juggle the two separate issues, but also dealing with them together.
Yeah. So if anyone is actually listening, which we do have listeners that do listen live, I know a lot of people do listen to this through podcasts, but if you're listening live right now, you actually have a really beautiful opportunity to talk to some people who have not only come out of the closet, like me, and can share experiences. You've got two really powerful people on the line as well who have lived through this from the perspective of being a child of a gay parent. So, Jared, I kind of want to go that same route with you, but with a little bit different twist, because your scenario was similar, but you were living separately, you know, with your mom and, you know, in San Diego, and you and your dad were having this kind of long-distance relationship. So what was really at stake for you if you were to actually say something about your dad being gay?
That's a good question. I don't know. Different than, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, than Aaron's, in that, you know, let's say I did confide in a close friend or something that my dad was gay. You know, I wouldn't have had to worry about when he came over to, or he or she came over to my house, you know, oh, there's my gay dad, and, you know, those types of things. In a way, and I don't know this, and this isn't to diminish Aaron's version, but in a way, I wonder if that might have been easier, because part of the challenge was that my dad and I were never, we kind of got close towards, you know, when I was in my mid-20s, he died in 2000. So it was kind of, you know, I was 27. So by then I'd accepted it. A lot of my friends and people I, you know, colleagues and stuff knew. But still, we hadn't really had the traditional or conventional father-son relationship. And we were just getting to know each other then. And, you know, as father-son and as friends and as two people with similar, you know, interests and stuff, you know, let alone the whole, you know, gay dad thing. So I don't know. I don't know exactly, you know, like I said, in a way it might have been easier, but in a way it was easier not to have him there, because I didn't have, you know, no one knew my dad. None of my friends knew my dad. They knew he lived in San Francisco. They knew I went up there several times a year, and, you know, I told stories about the city, but, you know, it was never, you know, I don't recall anyone ever asking, oh, does he have a girlfriend? Does he have that? You know, nothing. It just never kind of, I could easily evade anything and not even have to talk about it.
Sure. So you kind of brought up something interesting, and I'll let either one of you answer the question, just ask that if you decide to answer the question, you say, this is Jared or this is Aaron. We're on a combined call here. But was there ever any pressure from anyone for you to not talk about this?
This is Jared. I think the pressure came to not talk about it came from myself, to be honest. And I say that not to be hard on myself, but just, again, the lack of resources, the lack of understanding, the lack of people who were welcoming or, you know, talking, you know, like you, you know, people, you know, radio shows and all these resources, they just weren't there. So I put this pressure on myself thinking, you know, I didn't know anyone. I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't have known who to even tell, or who, you know, I didn't think any of my teachers or friends, parents or any, you know, I didn't, there was no one that I said, oh, I'll go talk to him or her and you know, they'll understand. You know, and part of it was my immaturity is just as a, you know, a 14-year-old, 15, 16-year-old, just, you know, normal high school kid behavior anyway. So I think, you know, the pressure was really up from myself.
Sure. It's very much an internalized pressure. And again, going back to that time frame, there weren't a lot of resources. And even today, yes, we have PFLAG, Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays that's out there. There are resources at gay and lesbian centers, but it is tough. And I did a little research, you know, before we did the show and having the work that I do. Obviously, I'm always looking for resources to help people. But I still think there's a huge deficit right now in the resources for, especially the, I'm going to go for the middle school to high school kids who may be dealing with this with a parent. You can find stuff for the younger kids. You can find books like My Daddy's Roommate and I can't remember one, but there's another book that, you know, Such and So Has Two Mommies. You can find this for the younger kids, you know, the kids that are just, you know, 3, 4 on up to 7, 8, 9, those kind of stories. But what's missing is this other crucial piece. Sure, there's gay straight alliances in high schools, but not all high schools and things such as that. So I think this is a really valid point you brought forward, Jared. So Aaron, kind of back to you, was there ever any pressure for this to be kind of swept under the carpet and not talked about?
Like Jared said, I think most of that pressure was coming from within me. My parents never said, don't talk about this, don't tell anyone. And actually, it was probably that pressure I felt inside is kind of what caused me to sort of break down and, you know, required some therapy and some medication and just talking about it with a, you know, a qualified person in order to deal with everything. But I finally just, you know, cracked from that pressure to not talk about it. And then I think I sort of regressed in that way. And so now my husband often sort of chides me about it, why I always feel the need to talk about it. And I don't think he gets it, but that because there are still kids out there that this is happening to. And because I literally, for the first time in 20 years, just met Amy and Jared, other kids with gay dads, and that's how long it's taken. And so it just really, I think it's that pressure is finally gone, and so now I'm just bursting wide open and really ready to help people as best as I and as we can.
Sure. Well, I love that you guys are doing what you're doing with the Gay Dads Project, and we'll get to that in the next segment. But what I really love about this, it is about healing. And, you know, even as a coach, I know that the work that I choose to do, while it's very much gay and lesbian coming out focused, there's a whole other side of my business that is around life coaching and helping people break free from whatever is holding them back from not living the life that they desire. Well, when you look at that statement that I just said, living the life that you desire and breaking free to do that, whether it's getting a new job or stepping into your passion and purpose or coming out of the closet to declare your sexual truth, the energy is the same. And in that energy is where the healing begins. And without any judgment, I just, you know, want to encourage you guys, because I've had these conversations with you already, but I think it's really poignant to make the point here on the air that the work you are doing, A, is helping others, but it is also allowing you to continue your own healing processes, however that is for you individually or as a group. It is an extension of, I still have this, and I'm not saying you guys are broken or, you know, you haven't dealt with stuff, but there are always going to be pieces of this that each one of us goes through and deals with. So we've got just a couple of minutes. We've got 2 minutes till we go to break. So I'm going to ask a really just straightforward question that we can keep really simple. What's the thing that you wish you could have changed the most, Jared, in this experience?
I wish that I, and I know it's in a way unrealistic given the era, I wish that I would have been told when I was 3, 4, 5, and just known from the beginning, and that my dad would have been fine with that, that my mom would have, you know, had to have, you know, she had to deal with it anyway, being the straight spouse whose husband came out as gay. But I think it would have just been, you know, it still would have been challenging, I'm sure, growing up with a known gay dad, but I think at least I would have known, not been sprung on, you know, when I was a freshman in high school and had to then, you know, have my own insecurities anyway as a freshman.
Right.
You know, so that's, I think that would be what I would have liked to have seen different.
Sure. And we'll get to Aaron's answer to that question when we come back. But I think what Jared just beautifully said is, you know, the transparency and the authenticity that comes forward when we as human beings are truly in that space is really what getting into an intimate, communicative relationship with one another is all about. The more transparent, honest, authentic we can be, even though it may bring forward, and usually those kind of things do bring forward the pain and the fear, in those moments is also when we can clearly see one another for who we are. So when we return to the Coming Out Lounge, we'll pick up right where we're leaving off with Aaron and finding out what she would have liked to have changed in her experience.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
The Mary Beth Wells Hour is a talk radio show where we reach out, reach deep, and talk about topics of substance. We'll cover points of interest, such as World War II and the Holocaust, the Vietnam War, the planets and the oceans, skydiving, rock climbing, and much, much more. Join me every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we delve into and discuss fascinating subjects. It's a program to pique your interest for sure.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live 2-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back on the Coming Out Lounge. I'm speaking with two of the founders of the Gay Dad Project. And as we're doing the show again, if there's anyone listening live at this time, I'd like to invite you, if you have questions or comments, to feel free and call in on our phone lines. The number is 1-877-864-4869. Again, 877-864-4869. So just prior to the break, I'd asked Jared the question of, you know, if he could change anything about having gone through this experience with his father coming out of the closet, what would he like to have changed? And he was very forthright and honest that, you know, I just wish my parents would have told me at a younger age, not that it may have been even any easier to know that you had a gay father at 3, 4, 5 versus at 14. We don't know because we can't go back and roll the hands of the clock back and go live it. But I love the vulnerability and the honesty that Jared brought forth in that. So I'm going to toss that same question to Aaron and say, you know, if you could change anything, what would you have liked to have changed?
I do echo Jared's sentiments, but so as not to repeat that whole thing. My first experience, I was told on a Sunday, and it may have been within 2 or 3 days right after my dad came out, I went to the bookstore. I went to Walden Books because back in the day there was no internet. There was no Amazon.com. There was no Barnes & Noble. So I went to Walden Books by myself, and I asked the saleswoman for a book, you know, for her, kids who have a gay parent. And she pretty much started snickering and giggling at me. And she led me to the children's section where there you can find that Leslie Newman book, Heather Has Two Mommies. And I gave her one look, and I thought to myself, I'm 15. I need something for me. But there wasn't anything for me. So not only her negative reaction and just the way she, it was almost like, who has a gay dad? Or, oh my God, like basically you're an alien or something. I've never encountered anyone as foreign as you. I can't believe that that woman, I mean, still to this day, I remember it just very vividly. And I think she set a precedent for me almost and set me back a little bit, because the very first time I went out there and said something about it, I was met with an attitude or kind of you're anything but normal and this is weird and I don't have anything for you because you're something that doesn't exist, you know, basically.
Right.
So.
And you know, I so appreciate that perspective, and I always find it so powerfully interesting how parallel the thoughts, feelings, and emotions are between the person coming out of the closet and the person who is in part of the inner circle that's riding that wave with them. What you just said is there's nothing there for me. Well, what's really interesting, and even today, there's not really still a lot of material. There's some books, and I'm going to give out a couple of names of books that I would highly recommend, but there are some books out there for kids who have parents who are coming out of the closet. And there's a couple of books out there for parents who are coming out of the closets and have children, but there's not a lot. There's a lot of stuff for I'm teenage and gay and coming out, or I'm 20-something and I want to come out. There's support groups at the gay and lesbian centers for coming out. But there is not a lot of specific tight information for this unique niche of married and coming out, or my parent is gay. And so if there's any burgeoning want to be authors or anything, I would highly encourage that some people look into these areas, because there's a hunger out there. There's a hunger out there, which kind of leads to what you guys are doing. But before we get to the book and the documentary and everything around the Gay Dads Project, I want to talk just a little bit about both of you as parents, because you both have children, and ironically, you both have twins. Well, that's just kind of ironic that you guys created this friendship and you both have twins, which is just really fascinating that we are brought together with like types for a very specific purpose. So I'm really curious, you know, as parents, what effect do you think this has on your own children, having a gay grandfather in their lives?
My kids, I have twins who are almost 7 and I have an almost 1-year-old, and they literally have barely noticed. It's just my dad, they call Pop Pop, and his partner they call Nana, and it's always just been Nana and Pop Pop. And when they visit, they stay in the guest room together, and when we visit them, it's their house together and they have their room together. And they have not really shown any I don't even know what's the word. Maybe they're still a little young. And we do talk about how anyone can get married. And in fact, one of my daughters has a tremendous crush on one of her favorite babysitters and often will say, "Oh, I want to marry Kylie." And I just think that's the cutest thing ever. And they also happen to love the Katy Perry song, "I Kissed a Girl." And they don't think anything of it. So I like to expose them to things. And I also hope that their generation will be even more progressive, you know, than ours and the one we grew up in by that time. But they really love everyone in our family, and my husband has gay people on his side of the family as well, so they're definitely used to it, and it's not anything strange for them.
Sure. And I love this, exposing your children to things so that they can be more progressive in their view. And it's kind of ironic that you said that, because I was doing a session with a client this past week, and this particular client had a issue in his own family where he was going to a very large gay event that is very much in a very straight environment where families would normally be welcome. And suddenly out of the blue, his brother kind of was like, "Well, I can't believe that this venue is allowing gay people to be there. I sure wouldn't want my daughters to see that." And it was really kind of took him aback, because there'd been that piece of, okay, things have been floating along. I interact with my nieces all this time in these ways, and suddenly out of the blue, here comes this thing. Well, I wouldn't want my daughters to see that. And it just really shows you how much fear and misunderstanding there still is around what might happen if your child is exposed to a gay and lesbian. And it's very, in my mind, it's very much a heartbreak when I hear those sort of things. So Jared, what about you? Your dad got two twins, you know, and I realize your father has passed, but what is this like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, he passed in 2000, and my kids I have twins as well, boy, girl twins. They'll be four in January. So, you know, 9 years, they were born 9 years, after their grandfather passed. So, you know, and I've referenced him before. They don't really understand, death and stuff. So it's not a big deal yet, but it will be, because there's a lot of legacy that he's passed on to me other than him being gay. But, you know, what I hear, you know, hearing Erin talk about, you know, her kids, and I, before, you know, I'm a writer and an editor now, but for 5 years I was for 10 years I was a teacher, and the last five I was a middle school teacher at a very progressive school. You know, I live in Oakland. The school was in Oakland. The Bay Area is, you know, fortunately one of the more progressive areas in the country, in the world, to, you know, for the gay community, and which is one of the reasons why I like living here, both for myself and for my kids. But the key, you know, you brought up a good point, Rick. It's really about exposure and normalization at an early age, because kids, you know, hearing Erin's, you know, tell her stories about her kids, that makes so much sense to me. Just knowing kids from a teaching perspective and from a parenting perspective, that kids don't learn, you know, it's a cliche, I know, but they don't learn hate and fear. Like they, you know, they're taught that. They don't know that inherently. They're only taught it by our, you know, adults or older kids' fears and misunderstandings and stuff. And so to combat that, it's all about early exposure and normalization, like not even commenting or making it, you know, it's like, it's just here's so-and-so and his partner, and here's, you know, and whatever. Because what's going to happen, and I know this from teaching, you know, 12, 13 year olds, is even in a progressive environment, you still do have just the normal, you know, unfortunately, normal developmentally appropriate homophobia that enters into, you know, puberty aged kid. But if those kids have had the normalization from an early age, it's going to be easier for them to get over it, to kind of get through that stage, to understand, to have adults that are supportive and are educating them, are educated themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, to hear, you know, someone say, oh, I don't want, you know, they're too young to see that. Like, no, they're not, actually. They're not too young. They're never too young. In fact, it's just like I said earlier, you know, I wish I had known when I was younger. Then it becomes normal as you grow up, and it's not a big thing. And I think that's, you know, unfortunately in our nation, in our culture, you know, that's a big thing. Like, oh, kids are too young. I can't tell them about this stuff. And it's like, yes, you can. You just have to find the way to do it at their age appropriate level.
Well, I agree. And I think this is a really important space to kind of, we're going to be going off to break here, but it's a really important jumping off space to talk about, no matter whether it's gay, lesbian, or, you know, smoking or drinking or drugs or any of these things that we know are, quote, learned, and I'm not insinuating before anybody goes there that homosexuality is a learned behavior, but these are the things that you expose your children to at an age-appropriate level that they can understand. And this is something that's going to come up on a talk I'm doing this afternoon around how do you expose your children to these things. But I think what's so beautiful about what you guys are doing as a team on the Gay Dad Project is you are developing that resource that hits right in that center area of the middle school, the high school years. And I think it's wonderful that, Jared, you come from that space, being a high school teacher, and, you know, you guys went through this experience yourself at those age ranges. So we've got about a minute to go, and I know that Jared is going to have to potentially leave us either right at this break or shortly thereafter. So, I want to get into the Gay Dad Project when we return. It's a powerful movement that these three are putting together. There's a documentary already being started to shoot. There's also a book that will follow along from that. So please come back on the break when we come back and hear the beautiful story that this great team of young people is putting together to honor their experiences as children of gay dads. We will be right back after this break, and we'll be talking more with the Gay Dad Project team.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TalkingNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Tune in to the Travel Chick Show with Bonnie Kitohata, Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Bonnie will share with you an hour of travel ideas, experiences, adventures, and tips from her guests. Topics range from local day trips to international excursions, from organized professional vacations to spur-of-the-moment getaways. For fun or business, groups or solo, by bus, car, plane, train, boat, bike, hike, or horse, you'll also hear about travel-related subjects like cultures, travel photography, keepsakes, and more. Whether you love to travel yourself or you enjoy seeing the world vicariously through others, join us and enjoy travel stories from around the U.S. and around the world. For more information on the Travel Chick Show, check out Bonnie's website, thetravelchick.com. Then join us for the show, The Travel Chick Show, live Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, with your host, Bonnie Kitohata, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we're back in our final segment for this week's show on the Coming Out Lounge. I have been talking with Jared and Aaron from the Gay Dad Project, and they've been sharing their story of growing up with as children of gay men. And first of all, I just want to say they have done a beautiful job of sharing, being vulnerable, exposing their lives and their stories on the show. But in this final segment, I really want to give them the platform to really talk about the Gay Dad Project and what it's all about. So I'm simply going to turn it over to you, Jared, and you kind of share how it started, why you're doing it. And I know you've got to leave in about 5 minutes, so I'll let you take the floor first.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rick. So the website, which you can find easily enough, is www.gaydadproject.org, and you'll find a lot of stories that are being shared from us and from other submissions. You'll find a little bit of information about a book that we are have plans for in the future, a documentary film. We're actually in the process of redesigning the website a little bit to be a little more inclusive with some of the other stuff we're doing. We were talking about this just yesterday, the three of us, and it's like, wow, we've only been doing this for 2 months, kind of officially, launched the website in early August. So we're really excited by the steam that we're picking up and the attention we're getting and, the stories we're receiving as well. So started actually last October. I had written on my about a year ago almost, or a little over a year ago, I had written a piece on my blog, Lick the Fridge, which is my personal blog, and about my, it was called Mr. Johnson, You Have AIDS. And it was basically the story of how when I was a kid, my best friend and I, we were big stand-up comedian fans, and one of our favorite shows was Eddie Murphy, Delirious. And he had a bit that maybe if you're my age, or you might remember, where he kind of, this is 1983, 84, somewhere, early 80s, and he was essentially kind of doing a comedic bit about AIDS. And so we loved that. We would do our Eddie Murphy impression to a T, and we thought it was so funny. And then, 3 years later, my dad tells me he's gay. A year after that, he tells me that he has HIV. And then, 12 years later, he ended up actually, passing away from AIDS-related complications. So anyway, I wrote that piece. It was the first time I'd really written something that was, really that personal about my dad. And Aaron happened to find it. We had both been writing for a group blog together. We learned that we both have twins. There are all these commonalities, so we kind of struck up this thing. We said, "Oh, we should write a book," and it was kind of all just like, "Oh yeah, great," but nothing really came of it. Simultaneously, I was working with Aaron, with Amy. Amy and I were working together. She was a freelancer, and then in December, she came on, and we worked very closely together for about 6 months, and I don't even remember how it came. She just said, "Oh, I heard your dad's gay. My dad's gay too." I'm like, "Oh, well, I know this girl, Erin. Her dad's gay." And then, it was very, it's like, "Oh my God." Like Erin said earlier, wow, there are other people. There are other people that have this. And so this was back in the beginning of this calendar year, maybe January, sure, February. And so it kind of evolved from there. And then finally this summer, we got our heads together and we really decided what we wanted to do, which is, it's multifaceted. And I think, one aspect is sharing our stories and as a continuing, I don't know what the word, catharsis or, release and, but also, like we've talked about, on this show, education, really, helping people understand the history of, of the gay rights movement, of, what it really means to be a gay parent, to be a gay kid, to be a straight spouse, and, how can we help people understand that, hey, it's okay, and there are resources, and we're one of them. And then, I think the other thing is, just that, to be a resource, to hear other people's stories. Hey, here's a safe space for you to tell your story. Are you a teenage kid who's just found out his dad is gay, his mom is gay? Are you the parent that just told your kids? Are you the straight spouse? Or are you the cousin? Are you the grandma? You know, anyone, right. Like, share your story with us. It's a safe space. And really, just like we're doing now on your show, Rick, the more we talk about it, the more it gets normalized, it gets, you know, it becomes, it doesn't become a, or doesn't continue to be a, you know, a stigma. And that's, you know, it's a battle that you just have to keep on keeping on. So
exactly. Well, I know you've got to get going, Jared. So
I do.
Thank you for sharing that so much. I love what you're doing with this, and I look forward to our continued working together. And so at this point, we're going to say adieu to you and allow Erin to come in and give her perspective and kind of finish out the show with me. So thanks again, buddy, for being on the show.
Welcome, Rick. Thank you so much. And Erin, have a good day, and we'll I'm sure we'll be in touch soon.
We will be. Yep. Bye, Jared.
Bye.
So anything you'd like to piece in, add to, continue on with, Erin? Because I know each of you brings your own perspective into this beautiful project you guys are doing.
I'm really eager to help. We will be working on publishing a post coming up soon here. A man wrote in who is gay and figuring out how, when, and if he should come out to his kids. And he's asking us for advice. And in the post, when you see it, I mean, you'll see, but we've each weighed in on our perspectives. And I just really want everyone to feel like we're approachable and we're just the kids next door, basically. And this, we happen to have this one thing in common. And whether or not you're the gay parent or the straight parent, or you're the child who this has happened to, and whether you're a child and that you're a teenager, or you're even younger, or you're my age, I still consider myself a kid and I'm 35 years old, but
right.
we want people to feel that they can come to us and they can submit their stories even anonymously and just feel that they have an outlet somewhere and we would like to encourage that. We want people to talk and open these doors that are locked and, you know, assist people in any way that we can. I mean, I'm willing to pick up the phone, and if you give me your number and you need to talk, and I will pick up the phone and call you, or I'll email you, or anything. We are here for you.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of what I really truly see at the basis of what you all are doing, is being of service and being of help. And whether it's for the parent that's coming out, the spouse who is finding out, the children, there's a beautiful thing happening here, and that's why I'm so invigorated to be having these conversations with you guys and seeing how we may work together moving forward, because this is my experience too. This has been, you know, my children are 17 and 13 now. They were much younger than you guys when all this happened, and when I was asking my daughters about, you know, if they ever would talk on a show similar to this, they're like, yeah, why wouldn't we? And I said, well, I just want to make sure you understand the magnitude of what these things can bring. And, you know, I want to make sure you're comfortable. And they're like, you know, my youngest one, who was 18 months when this all happened, she goes, well, I don't know anything other than this, Dad. So why would I feel uncomfortable with it? Which I think is a testimony to where our youth are moving, you know, at this point in time, in acceptance and being just who they are. But also it's a huge testimony of really being with your kids, and I'm not stroking my own back here, but it really was always my intention that no matter what, this was all about my kids. My kids were the most important thing to me throughout this entire piece. So I'm going to throw a surprise at you that I was hoping I'd do this when Jared was here, but I'm going to let the listeners know that the first two people who contact me who have loved the story that we have just shared with you throughout the last hour, I will buy you one of the Gay Dad Project t-shirts that are available on their website. So whether you're the child of someone who is gay, you can get one that says, I'm not gay, but my dad is. Or whether you're the parent of someone who does have a child and you'd like one of the t-shirts that says, I'm not straight, but my child is, I will pay for your t-shirt orders. And to do that, you just need to email me at rick@becomingoutcoach.com. and I will take care of covering the cost on that. So we've got about 3 minutes to go here, Aaron. Is there anything that you feel like, you know, we only had a really short hour here, but is there anything that you would really like to share with the audience that kind of wraps up everything and puts it in a somewhat nice little bundle that either help or encourage someone who may be going through this on either side of the fence?
I just, if you're out there and you're listening, just know that you're not alone, that there are resources, and you may feel alone, you may not want to talk about it, but you are definitely not the only one going through this. And don't be afraid to confide in a friend or a therapist, or, you know, in my case, it was kind of strange because I have two younger brothers, yet we didn't confide in each other about this. And maybe that would or wouldn't have helped us, all three of us. I don't know. We were at such different ages and stages, and I think we felt a little uncomfortable and awkward about it. But, you know, tell a best friend or talk to a teacher that you feel close to, or a professor in college, or, you know, I don't know, write a blog, write a letter to
someone.
There's ways to connect, and there's some books out now, but there's got to be some way that you can have an outlet. And
absolutely. Yeah, and I'm glad you just said that about the books, because here's a couple of books I want to share with whoever's listening. There's one by Ellen DeGeneres and Robert Bernstein and Robert McNeil called Straight Parents, Gay Children Keeping Families Together. There's another one, Families Like Mine, Children of Gay Parents Tell It Like It Is. Another one, How It Feels to Have a Gay or Lesbian Parent, a book by kids for kids of all ages by Judith E. Snow. And soon to be a book by the Gay Dad Project. So there's resources. Go to your local gay and lesbian center. And we've got 1 minute left to go. So I want to say, Aaron, thank you so much also for being here and being a shining light of hope and inspiration to those who been listening and will listen in the future. And again, the website is thegaydadproject.org.
Yes.
And thank you so much, Aaron, for being on the show. We've got 30 seconds, so I just want to say thank you very much.
Well, and thank you, Rick, for having us, and thank you all out there who are listening or who will be listening, and we appreciate your support.
Absolutely. And everyone have a beautiful week, and don't forget to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth, gay or straight, each and every moment of your life.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.